Welcome to the Magic and Alchemy podcast, where we talk about witchcraft, setting intentions, forgotten folklore, and mythology. Created by Tamed Wild, Magic and Alchemy is a collection of stories, rituals, and articles crafted by a variety of creators and writers, including myself, Kristen Lisenby, and my co-host, Kate Ballou. Hello, and welcome back to the Magic and Alchemy podcast. I'm Kristen Lisenby.
And I'm Kate Ballou.
Happy first week of March, Kate. How are you?
March. We made it. Spring is almost here. The spring equinox is just around the corner. Aries season. All the things. Things are good. How are you?
Yeah. Things are good here. I can see spring. There's wildflowers. Aww. Spring is coming.
Pictures, please.
Yes, I'll send you some.
Thank you. So what's our listener question for today before we get into our interview?
Well, we've had some really great questions showing up in our DMs and inboxes lately, including where to start on your magical journeys and book recs for beginners. So we figured this is a good time to remind everyone that we have a few episodes dedicated to these very things. We have two Witchcraft 101 episodes, episodes 13 and 49, as well as episodes 91 and 93, where we talked about a few different types of magic. If anyone out there is wanting to explore some different methodologies. And then, of course, book recs. We always have books listed in our show notes that we mention or have used as sources for each episode. So it might be helpful to scroll through the Magic and Alchemy archive. And whichever episode sounds interesting to you, maybe check out the show notes and see what books we've listed there.
I love that idea, Kristen. You always pull us through with the show notes. You do such an amazing job. They're so thorough, listeners. You got to check them out. Yeah. And I mean, the Tamed Wild website is another really great place to go when looking for books. Shelby has curated a beautiful selection of books there on herbalism, divination, kitchen witchery, spellcraft, tarot, you name it. You'll find it. It's there.
Yes. And in addition to these questions I just mentioned, we also received a question from a listener who asked, why are so many witches talking about Carl Jung right now? And Kate, this question is excellent, and I wonder what you think.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. You know, I haven't seen that many witches talking about Carl Jung, so I'm really curious about what this listener has been seeing, but I guess maybe I'm just like a little desensitized to it because maybe witches are just always talking about Jung. I don't know. But if I had to guess, I would think that it's probably because of Jung's work around shadow work, archetypal work, dream work, which witches love. Because if you're interested in the occult, you're probably interested in, or at least I hope you're interested in, the shadow, the dark, fertile spaces, the time just before the new moon, ruled by the goddess. I think this space is an excellent source of magic and power and understanding, especially around the collective. And so I'm not surprised, I guess, that witches are drawn to this conversation and this work. Because you mentioned Witchcraft 101, I think I just would love to maybe share some favorite entry points into shadow work and dream work that are modern takes or expound on Jung's work. And this is only because I'm not too familiar with his work itself outside of the very intense personality psychology class that I took in college that I loved. But Shelby, who we interview in this episode more in just a minute, is a certified Jungian life coach. She created a gorgeous shadow work workbook, which you might be interested in if you want to follow those threads into shadow work, which Jung did a lot of work in, and that's available on Tamed Wild. I've also worked with the book Gold Mining the Shadows by Pixie Light Horse, which I think was so good. And I have a copy of Meeting the Shadows, The Hidden Power of the Dark Side of Human Nature, which includes essays by Jung, Robert Bly, who I just love, Joseph Campbell, and more. This could be helpful. You know, I love a collection of musings from different thinkers. I think it's so supportive. And, you know, I also just love Kim Kranz's archetype deck, which I know that she used depth psychology and Jungian study from her time at Pacifica University to create that deck. And I have Jung's wife's essays on my to-read list because, as history often shows us, behind every famous man is a woman doing some witchcraft.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, I'm really curious about her writings about the animus and anima. So I don't know. Working with the shadow, it's so, so powerful. I love that his theories make room for this poetry and magic in science and psychology. You know, Robert Bly being included in these conversations, I just love it, but I'm rambling now, Kristen, so to take over for me. Why do you think so many witches are discussing Jung right now?
Well, first off, when you read Emma Jung's essay, please report back. I am very curious. But I love all of these perspectives, and I had to think about this question a bit myself because it is so subjective, and as someone who has read a few of his books and writings but is no expert, I will say that, you know, like you said, some of Jung's work revolves around and intersects with things that many modern witches are interested in right now. You know, he talks about the shadow and archetypes, including the archetypal feminine and the archetypal witch. He also talks about myth. He had an interest in astrology and dreams and the unconscious parts of the psyche. And I don't know if this plays into Jung's popularity right now, but I really enjoy the work of anyone who helps to bridge the gap between science and mysticism, which I think Jung does. Whether it's intentional or not, I can't say, but yeah, I also think it's important, like with anyone, to take what resonates and leave the rest, because there are plenty of things that Jung has said that I don't agree with, but you know, he was also born in the 1800s, so I don't think many people would wholeheartedly agree with all of his viewpoints. But I, you know, think the best thing to do would be to read some of his stuff for yourself if you're curious, and then go from there.
Beautifully, beautifully said, Kristen. Yeah, this is where we bring our critical thinking lenses and we ask questions and we see what appears and what comes through.
Exactly.
Report back to us. We're curious.
Yes. But now, for today's conversation, we are joined by Shelby Bundy, a witch who really needs no introduction, as she is the creatrix of the Tamed Wild community and has been on Magic and Alchemy several times, including episodes 45 and 67, where we discussed witchy business, and also episode 111, where we talked about planetary magic. Most recently, Shelby joined us in episode 115 when we talked about Wild Medicine, the book authored by Shelby and my co-host, Kate Ballou. Be sure to check out this beautiful book if you haven't already, listeners. And today, Shelby is back with us to discuss coven and community.
Shelby joined us from her home in the woods of North Carolina via Zoom.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to the Magic and Alchemy podcast. I'm Kristen Lisenby.
And I'm Kate Ballou.
Shelby, welcome back to the podcast. How are you? I know you've been on the pod a few times over the past four seasons, but would you like to introduce yourself for our new listeners?
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm Shelby Bundy. I am the creator of Tamed Wild. Co-author.
So many things.
Yeah. Co-author of Wild Medicine with Kate.
Yay.
The Moon in Carolina on Instagram.
She's a writer. She's a coach. She's a past life regressionist.
Podcaster.
Depending on the day.
Multi-hyphenate creatrix visionary.
I like that. That's going on my business card.
I'm so happy you're here, Shelby.
Me too. Thank you.
And Shelby, I know you and I have known each other for, gosh, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years, give or take. Yeah. We're both from the Central Coast of California, and I have just seen your business grow and shapeshift so much from a brick and mortar apothecary to the virtual coven and network that it is today. And I have just always found your willingness to shapeshift, to pivot, so inspiring. But also so necessary as retail evolves, and your own spiritual practice evolves as well. And I've always been curious how much of this is a part of your business strategy as an entrepreneur, and how much of it is just Shelby, the shapeshifter.
That's a good question.
I love that question, Kristen.
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's so much my personality. I get bored easy, I think, and I'm always wanting to learn new things. And so I'm always just kind of like looking around, like, what can I do next? And I think that as a business owner, it's a good quality to have. Like you said, being able to pivot when necessary. It can also be a negative quality sometimes when I get burnt out on something that I need to continue on, you know? So yeah, I think it's definitely who I am, and it's been a good and a bad thing in business, but I've been lucky to be in an industry and, you know, with Tame Wild and the community we have, like being able to kind of pivot and grow and see what everybody's into and, you know, go in that direction.
I love that. I've always wondered, is this a Cancer thing? Is this a Shelby thing? Is this a business thing? Is it all three? It's like the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. You know? I have a lot of planets in Libra in the third house, and I think it's just kind of like always wanting to learn and communicate ideas and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know, keep the balance and find new ways to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it is Pisces season. Ladies, we are a few days past a Virgo full moon and less than 1 month away from the spring equinox. It feels so good to say that. So, Shelby, what have you let go of or what have you shed over this past winter?
You know what I'm really working on shedding is fears. You know, just which I think we talked about this, last time I was on the pod, maybe, or maybe it was on mine, but I've been really trying to step into my Leo rising energy and have a little bit more confidence in things that I'm doing. I feel like I had a lot of like questioning myself last year. And so that's kind of been my goal of shedding that insecurity layer, you know, and I guess by doing that, gaining a little bit more self-confidence in certain areas.
I love that. How's it going?
It's going, you know, I'm trying some new things and every little thing helps, you know, every little inch of putting myself out there more, trying something new has been helping. You know, and it's like we said before, like you never get like the reactions you think you're going to get when you try things. And so it's been good.
Yeah. I always think about that quote that you sent me, and it's like something I'm going to totally butcher it, but it's like, you know, on your 100th page of writing, like, you had to do all of the steps in between, or like to get to 100 episodes of podcasting, you had to record 11, 12, 13. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of those steps are so important.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm learning that. And I'm finding it's kind of therapeutic too, you know, to like push my limits a little bit and like find my edges. Yeah, it's been good. It's been good to let go of that fear.
I've used this metaphor before, but like when snakes shed their skin, a lot of them go blind, like right before they can't see as clearly. And I always think about it in doing like the scary thing or the shedding thing, like it might be a little bit hard to see past the actual thing itself or the letting go, but like the possibility is just right on the other side of that.
Yeah, I love that. I've never heard that before. But I used to have a python, and you're right. Their eyes would get all blue and glossy and or fogged up. And yeah, that's interesting. I like that.
Pet python, Shelby. I don't know that one.
A different lifetime.
Kristen, what are you letting go of? Anything?
You know, this is really, I mean, this is sort of unrelated to anything, but this has really been like a winter of like colds and flus and like sick days on the couch for me. So I'm letting all of that go right now and just, you know, trying to call in good health for me and my family and friends and listeners, all the covens out there. I'm just, you know, really ready to plant myself in the dirt and slough off winter skin, go blind for a little bit if I need to, but yeah, grow a few new leaves in the process and get back in my creative groove. What about you, Kate?
I saw something the other day that like really resonated with me, and I wish I remembered the writer. I mean, maybe it was Mara June, who came on the podcast from Mother Wharton Rose, and they shared that instead of calling it people pleasing, like thinking about it as more of like working through self-abandonment, which I really liked that sort of thought for spring, because I mean, there isn't anything like inherently wrong or like bad about wanting to like please people or to like bring pleasure in or like work in communities or like, I think that that intention has been kind of twisted or warped, but in thinking about it from like a self-abandonment perspective, I've been thinking about like, oh, what does it mean to not abandon myself in my work or in my communities or show up as like my true self and really feeling empowered in that, similar to you, Shelby, just kind of like inching through and like letting myself be seen as myself and trusting that people will understand me or be there for me in those moments. That's spring intention.
I love that.
So, can we talk about the stars now for a little bit? Are we open? Spring stars?
Yes.
Beautiful. So we're about to start an astrological new year with Aries season on March 19th, and then eclipse season begins. Shelby, Kristen, any words of wisdom for eclipse season or for these new beginnings?
Eclipse season, I always feel like just don't fight it. You know, I feel like whenever I try to control anything during eclipse seasons, it just doesn't work. So I just go with the flow. And if you feel like laying on the couch crying all day, do it. You know, if you feel like going for a run and crying, do it. You know, just dismantle however you feel comfortable doing it.
Oh, I love that. Maybe as listeners listen to this now, they could build a little toolkit for themselves, like in their phone or like a notes app, like all the things like you just named, like go for a run, cry on the couch, like so that you don't have to like think about it in the moment of panic. You just kind of have your little eclipse list. Toolkit assembled.
Yeah, like yoga or like a candle magic or like a small spell, like something to kind of just get you through it, you know.
Little anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always defer to, you know, my astrology friends like you two during the tough times, during the astrological tough times. Because, yeah, it can be sort of overwhelming, but I think being aware has been like the most helpful thing to me. So talking to your friends who know astrology really well, who can, you know, sort of validate your feelings and tell you, you know, it's okay, you know, this too shall pass. That's really helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, what's your secret? What do you do?
I just love to think about that word eclipse, and I've written some newsletters about this, but just kind of coming from the root word of like departure. And like, mm-hmm. it reminds me too, like, Shelby, when you wrote the piece about the fool, like for tarot on the blog, like thinking mm-hmm. about the fool is like kind of stepping off the cliff mm-hmm. In that imagery or in that archetype. And so eclipses to me carry such fool imagery, like the willingness to just like step off the cliff. But every good journey starts with a departure. And so we got to be willing to take the departure to go on the journey, because that's what it's all about. So I try to remember that when I'm crying on the couch. As I do.
I like that. I like that imagery.
And so I have to ask, being somebody who, you know, is, an armchair astrologer, how long does eclipse season last for?
It's usually, correct me if I'm wrong, Shelby, like two or three different lunations, like starting with like a new and then the full and then a third. So I think that this one will run, I want to say March 25th through middle of April, early middle of April. So you kind of get those three lunations. I know that sometimes it can change. I think the fall eclipse season is going to start end of September and early October, or middle September to October. So yeah.
So we have some nice little breaks, it seems like. Mm-hmm. It won't be too consistent.
No. Yeah, just kind of these like two astrological moments. I mean, and I also think that like what we're undergoing with this Pluto transit is kind of a similar departure in a lot of ways, or like a similar deep, deep transformation. So I feel like that is another sort of planetary transit that I think is really marking this year, because end of January, Pluto moved into Aquarius, which it did last spring for a few months also, before retrograding back through Capricorn. And we're going to have one more retrograde back through Capricorn through October, or October, November. Maybe I'm a little bit wrong there. I'm just pulling these dates out of my wherever. But before it enters Aquarius for the last time in November, where it will stay until 2043. So that's like a very intense transit this year. And so that, especially with eclipse season, I think in the fall, I would think that we'll feel some of that.
Mm-hmm. We'll feel it.
Yeah. What do you think about the Pluto transit, Shelby?
It's intense. In my personal, in my household, it's really interesting, because it's hitting my daughter and I's seventh house. And then it's hitting my husband's fourth and our son's 10th, you know? And so it's just like all the three of the major houses, you know, is kind of where it's landing for us. And so I'm kind of like watching with popcorn, you know, like what's going to happen.
So interesting. You're all fixed rising signs.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah, he's a Scorpio rising, and me and Sailor are Leo, and then our son is a Taurus rising. Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting. I did look up the dates while you were talking, though. It's March 25th and then April 8th. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right.
Oh, I want to look at the fall ones. Hang on.
Oh, I have them. It's September 18th and October 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. I knew I didn't plan my wedding during eclipse season, okay?
Oh, like, my gosh.
I knew
could
I did not
imagine?
Do that. I called Riss up. I was like, hey, I need you to please check my work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how the Pluto transit, it's an interesting one to kind of watch other people too, and like hear how it's affecting them. And yeah, it's definitely the fixed risings are feeling it, I think.
Yeah. Kristen and I too.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. yeah. And in our house, we're all water signs and our sons. We're all Cancer and Pisces, and then we're all fixed rising. So it's really interesting dynamic. And it's interesting to see, like, my son is going through a huge transition in his career this year. And it's already begun. And so that adds up for Pluto, you know, being there. And so. Yeah, mine being in the house of relationships, I told my husband, I was like, we're either going to do really good or we're going to get a divorce. I was like, I don't know. Let's wait and see.
I mean, that's the power of knowing that, though. It kind of gives you some insight. stock that toolbox too. Do we have another? I guess we probably don't have another Venus retrograde. Some other, like there's, what, 3 Mercury retrogrades to look for this year. Right now we're in a really powerful space of no planets in retrograde. So if you have anything that you'd like to commit to, listeners, in the next few weeks, like now is your shot for the year before things get a little dicey.
So many things. This is a good time to make some lists and...
Yeah. Yes. Sign your contracts, make your promises, make your commitments.
Okay, so switching gears for a moment, we were talking just a couple minutes ago about new beginnings, but Shelby, I would love to know more about Tamed Wild's new offering, The Coven. So on the Tamed Wild website, it says, "The Coven was created out of the desire for community, not just any community, but a community of earth-spirited magical witches who want to connect beyond the bounds of social media, a place to share knowledge, speak face-to-face, and make real-life connections, a place to cast a circle, set intentions, build an altar, and learn the tarot. A place to talk astrology, write spells, and grow in our practices together." So tell me more. I want to know everything. Can you walk me through what happens when somebody first joins the coven? Like, what do they do? Where do they go? And how do they interact with this community?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm happy to share. I'm really excited about this space. So to join it, you would just go to tamewildcoven.com and you log in there. And once you are in the platform, it's pretty intuitive. It's hosted on Kajabi. So I don't know if you're a part of any communities on Kajabi, but they have what they call circles. They're kind of like discussion boards. So the landing page is kind of reminds me of like a Facebook feed where you just kind of scroll through everything. But we have these little circles, which are discussion boards, where we sort our posts by topic. So if you just want to read about astrology, you can click on that and you'll get to the astrology post if you just want to talk about tarot. But it's basically a community where everybody's interacting on posts and they're writing their own, they're responding to everybody else's. There is a live chat feature, which is really cool. It's a chat room, like old style, like back in the AOL days.
I love that.
I miss those so much.
Yeah, it's so cool. And people are constantly talking in there. So it's just, I've seen people jump in there and just say like, "Hey guys, I'm just having like a really like, you know, quiet day today. Anybody want to talk about tarot?" And there's like 4 people on that are like, "Oh yeah, let's talk about it," you know. And people have jumped in there and just said, "Hey, I need some, prayers, but I guess kind of that, you know, just like, I need some help today, like send some energy my way or say a prayer for me and I'm going through something." And then there's 25, you know, witches in there going, "Okay, I'm sending it your way, send it your way." And it's just really cool to see how it's growing. And it's basically a space for everybody to talk and just kind of share. We have a weekly call on Wednesdays that's a live call. And I think last week we talked about building altars. The week before we all talked about what deity that we were working with for February. And so they're themed usually, but they're just kind of check-in calls so we can all, you know, speak in person. And they're really engaging. Everybody, you know, everybody talks and there's a chat function in there. So we, you know, communicate that way. On one day a week, we release a grimoire, which is like really pretty designed PDF that has a spell on it, or it talks about a deity or an herb. They're all different. So that's every Thursday, I think, we release those. There's a monthly workbook that's a PDF also that is kind of sets you up. It's geared towards your practice. So it's like, how are you going to stay in your practice this month? You know, how are you going to honor it? Because, and that one I was really excited about offering, because I think for me personally, I feel like sometimes, you know, life gets in the way and you can kind of get disconnected, or you can forget to clean up your altar. That sounds like, that's not how you say that, but, like redo your altar, or like, you know, reach out to a different deity, or, you know, just consider your practice basically. And so this workbook is there to, ask you some questions and prompt you to take a look and go, hey, who are you honoring this month? Or, you know, what ritual are you hoping to do or whatever? So, and then there's a monthly tarot spread, also PDF that's designed for the month. And that's, you know, there's a lot of content, you know, there's just a lot of downloads. Every Friday, there's a meditation audio download also. So you're just getting like a lot of information. And then there's just a community there to share it with and to talk about, you know, what you're learning and ask questions. And so it's a really, really beautiful space.
I feel like just from like working with the Tamed Wild social media now for like a few years and like doing the podcast, like one of the things I've just seen and heard the most is people being lonely or like looking for that connection or like threads to start with. And I think that this is such a nice scaffolding that you've created for that, Shelby, just like great use of the internet, because like so many people are just, you know, in small communities where they can't like explore this necessarily or wouldn't know how to like create a coven in their hometown. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, and they might meet people who like live close to them, like through this, even, yeah. You know, I think it's like really special.
Yeah. We're actually seeing that, like people starting to say, where are you from? And, you know, find those connections. We also have, a book coven circle where we're all sharing what books we're reading. I think another big aspect to this that I am realizing was necessary is there's a lot of people who aren't comfortable discussing, you know, being a witch or their practice, even on social media, because, you know, they're not out of the broom closet yet, or maybe, you know, they're just fear of judgment. And so it's a safe space where everybody is there to support each other and to share in the same way. And so, there's no trolls, you know, there's no social media negativity, and it feels more sacred in a way. It's obviously a smaller group. And also one thing I forgot to mention when I was writing down all the offerings is there's a monthly webinar. And so ours is actually tonight, and it's a kind of a how to channel with Holly Hawkins, who is a medium. But that's really great too. You know, it's a 60-minute, hour-long thing that you can jump into, and there's a Q&A section at the end and just a lot of learnings, you know.
I'm hosting the one at the end of March, listeners. So there's a little like spring equinox writing circle intention setting symbols of spring workshop. So you can come write with us for astrological New Year if you're feeling called. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I think it's so much information that we're giving within the community. Because the goal is that we're all just constantly learning from each other, you know, and supporting each other. And every time we release, you know, a new PDF grimoire, everybody's talking about it and sharing their thoughts on it, or, you know, so it's just nice to have that space.
Well, and also it just like gets things out of like the Instagram bubble, which like I love social media. I think it's so much fun. I really do. But it is nice when you're trying to like learn or like experience content or like speak to people, like to get out of that sort of network can be really, really helpful, because you don't see mostly everything on an Instagram feed like that.
Yeah. No, and being able to interact with the people in the coven, you know, we're able to get feedback. We're able to hear what's working and what's not and what they like and what they don't. And, you know, and so as it grows, you know, we can tailor it and make sure that it is meeting the needs of the people who have joined.
It sounds like it offers so much, but it sounds like it would be a great place for beginners too, because I know, you know, the most common question we get asked is where do I start from people who are just starting out their journey? And this sounds like it would be a great place to start because there's so many different threads within the coven that they could follow, depending on what interests them.
Oh yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we have people who are expert astrologers in there, and someone will say, I don't understand my rising sign. And immediately you've got, you know, 10 astrologers, you know, giving you an interpretation or same with tarot. Someone will say like, I would like to learn tarot, but I don't really understand. And immediately there's tarotists in there, you know, just explaining it to you. So it is a really, really great place for people to go to learn and start out. And just even if you're just dipping your toes in, just to kind of see, is this for me? you know, every topic is covered. Like we talk about spells, we talk about deities, we talk about tarot, astrology, the seasons, the wheel of the year, history, mythology. Like it's just really cohesive.
Ahead of this talk, I looked up what the etymology of coven was, and it comes from the 1660s, a gathering of witches, and then before that, a meeting or gathering assembly from the 1500s, and then before that, kind of from various different forms of convent or like religious or spiritual groups and gatherings. And Kristen and Shelby, I would love to hear like a little bit about what a coven means to you in both of your own individual practices.
I feel like for me, it's a safe space where I can learn and grow and share experiences without judgment and also gain support. You know, I think that, in my opinion, is probably one of the core functions of a coven is to combine energy, you know, and to be able to help each other, be it with spells or just be it with emotional support, you know, whatever is needed. I think that there's power in multiple people gathering with the same intent. I have a few friends here that I do like a weekly dinner with, and I'm always, you know, we're always like, oh, it's our little coven, you know, but it's, we're sitting in restaurants, you know, we're talking about like past lives. We're talking about the ghosts that live in our attics, you know, we're talking about what ritual we did last week. And it's just so nice to like be able to be free to discuss all that and be with people who also support, you know, whatever it is that you're into.
I love that.
Yeah, I think we've all had situations where maybe you open up to somebody that you haven't opened up to before about something, past life regression, witchcraft, whatever, and you kind of get like this blank stare mm-hmm. as a response. And yeah, that doesn't really happen in covens, which is so nice. They get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's nice to learn from other people and to hear their experiences. And even, you know, with anything personal, like I think one time we all did like a spell for a lost object together. That was a couple years ago, right? I think was it me who lost something or somebody lost something? But even just our own little, you know, tamed wild coven of all the practitioners and us here and the, you know, at the retreats and stuff, it's so nice for all of us to have each other when anything's going on, you know, any personal things or professional. It's nice to just be able to be like, hey, guys, this is what's going on, and know that there's other witches out there supporting you, you know.
Yeah. Or to send a meme and get a little laugh. Little meme spell. Those are my mm-hmm. favorite coven moments.
Love.
Yeah, I think it's really, really powerful. Like you said, that support and the sharing and the gathering around a mutually like agreed upon or decided upon intention. It's just, it's really, really powerful.
And I think being, you know, in a coven really sort of offers us accountability too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys feel that way, you know, because when you stand together, you know, in ceremony and, you know, you share your intentions, like the coven will hold you accountable. You know, maybe not in a way that we expect, but, I think sometimes in a way that we're perhaps more open to receiving, and responding to, mm-hmm. Like I hate being told what to do, but I will listen to my coven mates. I don't know what that means. But yeah, there's a certain amount of accountability in a coven, which I think I really appreciate.
Yeah. Also too, I think, you know, at the retreats and the gatherings that we've had, I always walk away feeling humble and validated, you know, like when you've got, you know, some of our retreats have been like 22 people and everybody's sitting in a circle, you know, sharing intentions or releases, and you realize how alike we all really are, you know, when the woman next to you is releasing the same thing that you were going to release and, or, you know, sharing a fear that you were going to share, and we all joke and go, hey, that was mine. But at the same time, we're just like, oh, I'm not the only one, you know, and that's so powerful also, I think.
Yeah. Like to be witnessed too, I think is mm-hmm. really a beautiful thing. Like witnessed in our or your work. Like there's very rare moments of like, I'm going to
be there for you and sit in that space and watch you and hold that energy or create that energetic circle for like that person, that coven mate, that friend, that sister to like do the difficult thing. I think mm-hmm. that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a good place too for people who maybe struggle with being seen, you know? I think it was Asia Suler's book, Mirrors in the Earth. She said something like, we only become invisible when we look in the wrong places to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I really love that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a coven is a safe space. Like you said, Shelby, it's a safe space to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I didn't even really know how much I needed it until I had, you know, you guys and like a coven of women to, and the way that we have, you know, a lot of so many solitary practitioners and people who are just like, oh, I just do this on my own, and which is beautiful and great and amazing. But it's also a whole different experience when you can share your solitary practice with other people and say, hey, I just need some support on, you know, on this one thing, or hey, what do you think about this? Or what herb would you use for this? Or, you know, I think I've asked both of you guys to write me little spells like multiple times for things. I'm like, can you just write me a little incantation, please? I can't think of one. It's like an energetic sharing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I know all three of us have worked in facilitating and building community spaces of like all different types. But maybe just for listeners who are looking to create or craft their own coven or community in their own hometown or online spaces. But like, what are some intentional things that you recommend doing in building these spots, these spaces for support?
I think starting out, maybe like clearly defining what the space is going to be, you know, because there's so many different types of community spaces in, you know, and there's, you know, like just hosting moon circles can be a thing, but also getting together to create a spell, you know, or to honor a deity. So I think defining what it is you're looking to do and just kind of like, it almost sounds really like Virgo, but like making an outline, you know? Yes. And you know, what space you're going to do it in and how many people are you hoping to join. You know, I just had this conversation actually with my little coven, local coven here, my girlfriends. We were talking about like growing our little circle, and then we're like, you know, there's four of us and that's great. Like, not every coven needs to be, you know, 20 people or 10 people. And I prefer to be kind of smaller in this way. But then, you know, with the Tame Wild community being online, the goal is that we have as many people as possible in there so that everybody can learn from each other in that way. So yeah, I think for me, I would say just kind of really defining what it is you're looking to do and planning it out and knowing like, where are you going to host it? How are you going to host it? How many people? And what's the intent going to be? Are you going to lead it? Because that's another thing, Kristen, you probably remember this. Remember our moon circles? I hated leading them.
Yeah, I love the moon circles though. Like, I have just the fondest memories of those.
That was so fun.
The best.
I love doing them. I just get nervous talking in front of people. And so I was always like, let's do this big thing. And then Kristen, you talk.
I know, the most introverted person. You're like, you get to lead. It always worked out.
You're
though.
So
it
poetic. I'm so clumsy and you're so poetic.
Thank you. Well, and to piggyback off of what you were saying, Shelby, like sort of like making an outline or, you know, figuring out what you want. I love the idea of like spell jarring the community you want. I know all three of us love mm-hmm. spell jars here. But I don't know. It just like works so well despite mm-hmm. its simplicity. But if not making a spell bottle for the community you want, then like a mood board or some type of like tangible visual vessel that represents the community you're calling in. I think that's really potent, really mm-hmm. potent spell.
Mm. Yeah.
And Kate, what do you think?
I love what you both just said. I'm thinking a little bit about like our crossroads container, Kristen, mm-hmm. and I love the community agreements that we worked on that everybody, and I love when we send them out at the beginning of the container, like it being like you said, like, here's the outline, here's the intention. And then now everybody like respond via email and just say that you've read it. And like that sort of like verbal agreement, like I agree to be a part of this and to support these community agreements. Like I always think that that's such a powerful little moment at the beginning of those journeys that I really love. And so thinking about like, even like beyond the intentions, like what do we, how do we all promise to show up for each other and like support each other? I think that that's a really beautiful part of community.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. On the online community, every time you log in, it makes you agree to community guidelines. And it's just
sweet.
Yeah, it's really nice though, because it just serves as a reminder. And it's just a little paragraph that's like, hey, I agree to be kind. I agree to be supportive. You know, I agree to be open-minded and accept everyone. And you have to click it before you can move forward every single time. It's kind of a cool feature.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
A little digital spell.
Yeah.
I love that you just check spell. It. Yeah. It's like, I will be kind. I will be supportive.
Yeah.
I love that. I wish we had to check boxes like that before we talk to anybody online.
Especially on social media.
Hey, Instagram, I'm looking at you.
Right?
And how do you stay true, like, to yourself, Shelby, and also Kate, like when you're building these containers and these covens, like how do you stay true to yourself? Because it is so easy to see like what everyone else is doing and you're like, oh, they're so successful, like I should do that too. So how do you remain true to yourself when building these beautiful spaces?
I feel like for me, I am coming out of the other side of doing just that, what you just said, like kind of having like this fear of missing out or looking at what other people are doing and thinking, oh, my practice should be like that, or I should be doing that. You know, and this goes into like work and every other aspect. But I feel like I had in this past year, I had a shift and I'm coming out of that phase of my life. And I'm focusing a lot on setting boundaries and saying no. And this is actually a really great example in the coven. Somebody was looking for a past life regressionist, and it was in the chat. Everybody was just talking one day and I popped in and was reading and following along. And somebody said, oh, I think Shelby does past life regression. And I wrote and I said, I do past life regression, but I'm not actually taking any clients right now because I'm really overwhelmed, in my life, and I'm overwhelmed and understaffed and I just don't have the time, but thank you, you know? And it was like, watching the way these women responded, they were just like, Shelby, thank you for modeling boundaries. And they're like, thank you for saying no when you feel overworked. They're like, we really appreciate that you set boundaries. I've got 3 emails of people in the coven going, that was so inspiring, the way you said no, I need to learn to say no. And I was just like, who'd have thought? And the whole time I was saying no, I just felt bad, you know, because I feel like conditioned if I say no, that it's, you know, I'm letting somebody down. And it was just really beautiful. And it was like such a cool learning for me to see like, wow, that was empowering to other people, just setting boundaries, for myself. And so, yeah, so long story. I'm sorry. Short to make it shorter. I think I'm kind of like coming out of that space that I lived in for a while where I was doing that, you know, and so I feel like for me, I'm not in that space right now, but I was, so.
Mm. Live and learn situation.
Yeah. And the community is really, you know, kind of helping me do that because they were so supportive when I was like, oh gosh, you know.
I feel like after like 3 years in apprenticeship with Robin Rose Bennett, I just every so often will hear her in my head. And like with that sort of like should sort of thoughts, like if I have them, like, oh, like this is what someone else is doing, or I should do this, or I should do that, I just hear Robin being like, don't should on yourself. And I thank you, Robin. I love it so much. But yeah, then she always just kind of like modeled for us, like shifting from the should to the could. And I think in like community spaces, like I like to see them as places of possibilities, or like little like portals of like what could be, if we all work with each other towards these intentions or these agreements that we've all set together, like what could be possible. And so that's some like verbiage I try to work with when I'm building them. And it really reminds me again on Asia Suler's book that you brought up, Kristen, about how she works with boundaries kind of like gardens, mm-hmm. and gardens as good, as good teachers of boundaries. But that sort of way of bringing that possibility of gardens in with creating healthy boundaries for everybody and then what can thrive there all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think also too, like recognizing your role, because there have been times where I see something somebody else is doing, and within the community, let's say there's, when there's a moment of like, oh, I could do that also. And then I have to kind of remind myself, like, that's not the role that you're in right now. Like, you're in the role of creating and maintaining this space for other people. So I don't have to be the one that's posting 20 times a day. I don't have to be the one that's writing all the grimoires. And, because sometimes I think like, oh, I want to do this and that, and I should be doing it, and that person's doing it. But then I try to remind myself, like, the capacity that you're in right now is holding the space, creating the space, and making sure it functions for the members, And so, yeah, I think kind of identifying as we go through life, like, what role am I in right now,
Yeah, we do have the, desire to do it all ourselves, or at least I do anyways. And that has been a big thing for me, like stepping back and being like, I don't have to do it all. Like, I can just do the things that I want to do for the most part, and there's a lot of medicine in that and a lot of magic in just doing the things that you feel like you're called to do versus, telling yourself you should be doing everything. Mm-hmm. It's not realistic.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, Shelby, Kristen, I think that we are nearing the end of our conversation, but Shelby, before we go, would you be willing to share how folks can join the Coven, join the Tamed Wild community, and any other new things they can look for in the Tamed Wild network, as well as maybe a few last words of wisdom? I know this is a lot, but the final threads.
Yeah, definitely. So to join the Coven, tamedwildcoven.com, or on the Tamed Wild homepage, there's a link. It's $26 a month for all the things that I mentioned earlier, access to the webinar, the calls, all the downloads I talked about. There is a 7-day free trial, so you can get in there and lurk around for a week before deciding if you want to join or not. And then the other thing you asked me was, new things.
New from Tamed Wild, yeah.
Yes, we actually do have a couple new things coming. So March 1st, we are beginning a candle subscription because everybody loves candles and we love making spell candles. And so it's at every other month, so bi-monthly delivery. And it's the tall spell candles like we have now, goddess candles, or intention candles, and there'll be a new design every other month. So we have that we're offering that is steeply discounted from the regular candle price, which is awesome. But it's just, for me, like, I love getting candles and I love having one that I burn and just having a new one come in the mail. I've had a lot of candle subscriptions before, so I'm hoping people enjoy them as much as I do. And then we're also starting in May a grimoire page that's also a new subscription. It's three grimoire, it's actual physical, not PDFs, and they're foil printed, designed really beautifully, and it's three per season. So yeah, a couple new product offerings that we hope will help people grow their practice. So yeah.
And you still have the Book Coven as well, right?
Yeah. So the Book Coven right now is still hosted on Instagram. Danielle actually runs that, and we do a book a month and discuss it there. So yeah, we actually just, I think, like, the thread, we just love community, and we love having, like, even the subscription model, I love, because it just keeps us all, like, interacting with each other, and I love replenishing, things for people that they need for their practice or their altar, and, building a grimoire is can be so fun, but also stressful because of the amount of information, and so I find that I create products that I personally need. So I'm like, I need a new candle every 2 months. Okay, we're going to offer that. And I need really pretty grimoire pages. Okay, we're going to do that too. Like, But yeah, so that's kind of it for upcoming offerings with Tame Wild. But yeah, I guess final words would just be find your people, you know, find your coven.
And we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Magic and Alchemy, a podcast from Tamed Wild. Again, we're Kate Ballou and Kristen Lisenby. You can find us online at K8Ballou and at East and Alchemy. Send us your questions and comments or just say hello via email at podcast@tamedwild.com. You can view all the amazing offerings from Tamed Wild on their Instagram at tamedwild or on the blog tamedwild.com.
Join us back here in 2 weeks for another magical conversation. Just a reminder that magic and alchemy are always available to those who know where to look for it. So mote it be or something better. Until next time.